you're very welcome to the special council meeting. And today we'd like the opportunity to welcome representatives from NILGA. Derek McCallan, you're very welcome. You're no stranger to this chamber, you're very welcome. And just to record apologies for the minutes, we have councillors Charlie Casey, Mark Evans, Una McGuinness, and Gavin Malone and Gary Stokes. Are there any further apologies that we know of? That's fair enough, Mickey. We'll work out on the names, but thanks. No problems. Thanks very much, Pete. I think Liam is out doing a roundup. So what we'll do is we'll wait till Liam comes back, and then we'll start we'll start Derek's presentation on NILGA. Okay, and at this juncture, I'd like to make the following announcement. I'm delighted to announce that we now have a new Chief Executive of Newry Morning Down District Council. Marie Ward has been appointed as the Chief Executive Designate, and I would like to take this opportunity of congratulating Marie, and I'd like to wish her well in her new role as Chief Executive Designate for the Council. And that statement has been issued a few moments ago at 6 o'clock to councillors, staff and the press have been notified. So if you'd like to convey all our heartfelt congratulations and best wishes to Marie, and also Liam, to thank you for your years of service to this Council from its inception in shadow form right through to the present day. I'd like to thank you personally for all that you've done, and I wish you all the best in your endeavours. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Jay.
So, well, just in this case, I just thought I would pay the compliments. So we'll move on to the first presentation, and it's the one and only Derek McCallan.
Not sure how to follow that, Chairman. Thank you for the opportunity to present to what is my home council. Directly after this meeting, I will be getting into jeans and a sweatshirt and complying with your building control officer's request that I increase the size of the soil pipe outside my house. So I'm all ready. It's in the car. And Crossgar will smell a lot better as a result of my work to keep building control happy. Chair, all politics is local. And again, as I mentioned, as a Crossgar resident, this time last week, I had started a similar presentation series in Fermanagh and Omagh, followed by Derry City and Strabane. The middle of the week was in Causeway Coast and Glens, but it did end up in the Burrendale in Newcastle. Finished the week well, where several members who are in this committee, this council meeting tonight, and the outgoing chief executive attended the AGM of NILGA, where Councillor Dermot Curran passed his chain of office to a Mid-Ulster councillor called Councillor Francis Burton. So my week ended better than it started in terms of travel. But in terms of, I suppose, the organisation and NILGA, and I'm conscious that some members have lots and lots of experience, some members less so. I certainly won't be politically incorrect and talk about age, but just in terms of rolling this through, death by PowerPoint is something that you've probably had before and after 2nd of May. I don't want to kill you with PowerPoint and lots of heavy words. That's just some representation of what NILGA does on behalf of all councils, but specifically looking at Newry Morning Down in respect of the AGM in terms of council awards, which you as a council competed for and won, and in terms of events which invest in local the local economy, whether it be the Canal Court Hotel or related business venues. We invest on behalf of the councils that we commonly serve, and we use Newry Morning Down Council quite a lot, where use is used in a positive sense. But in terms of who we are, in many respects, it's also as the representative body of the 11 councils who you are. I can't stress enough, whether you're appointed to the association or not, each of the 462 councillors and the 12,000 workforce in local government all, to a greater or lesser degree, work within the umbrella body, which is NILGA. That would include members' issues such as effective regional representation. So in the B word, the EU referendum, 3 years since its vote today, I think it is, making sure that Northern Ireland's voice is heard from the perspective of no other political body being able to do that. Our imperative is making sure that there's a no net alternative detriment to the communities that we commonly serve, hence a £3.5 billion shared prosperity fund to fall out of the endpoint if and when the endpoint comes at the end of October. And making sure that regional learning and development as well is something, because no matter how experienced you are, as I'm sure we find every single day, there's something new that we can learn. Anyone who thinks that they've got the answer to everything should probably go away and have a look at themselves, because even the most experienced members have benefited, for example, from the 24th of May condensed planning programme which we provided up in Mid Ulster, and many attendees from Newry Mourne and Down Council were there. Why were they there? Because this is an important, complex role that the councillor performs in terms of planning, and planning obviously is interdepartmental. It relates to building control, it relates to the economy, it relates to environmental health. So it's very important that you know what's what. It's equally important that you can stand over, if I can put it like this, the litigious society or the predatory media who are wanting to have a snipe, with no disrespect to any of the media in this room this afternoon. So be prepared. That's what we do at regional level. Chair, in terms of how we do it, I should also point out, maybe for the benefit of those who are aware of other NILGAs, we're not the local government auditor. We're not, if you like, a body which is trying to record efficiencies or inefficiencies, but we want to see something from all councils, and we challenge them appropriately, and that is high quality services at affordable costs. That's the bottom line. That's why you're in the business of local government, and that's what we want to do, to champion how we can get better quality services at affordable cost, because public services are £21 billion of a public purse. That's a lot of money. I think the intention of this council, certainly the corporate plan ethos of Newry Mourne and Down Council, is to provide those high quality services, particularly to those who need them most, and that's the right way to go about it, in my humble opinion. In terms of the how and what, making sure that policy, investment, procurement, making sure that, if you like, as a body, the constitution of NILGA is owned by the 11 councils, that's very important in terms of strengthening local accountability, strengthening local democracy. And from our point of view, making sure that not just NILGA's voice, Chairman, but the voices of 12, 13, 14 strategic partners in the social economy, in the sustainable environment sector, in the small business sector, are actually saying the same things to wider government, means that it's not just the local government association standing up for better resourced local councils and local communities. It's also strategic partners saying the same thing. And the voice of local government heard 15 times over through bodies such as the Strategic Investment Board or the Federation of Small Businesses is extremely effective, even without a fully functioning legislative assembly. And I'll go on to that in a minute, if I have the opportunity to do so. My last bullet point there, I suppose, is more of a motive point. From a policy point of view, we believe in Northern Ireland that we have a democratic deficit, that the whole legislative and ideological makeup of Northern Ireland and how public services are run and funded needs to be completely rewired. We need to bring more power, responsibility and resources to councils, through councils, to the communities we commonly serve. It's happening everywhere else. Does that mean we should do what England's doing? That we should do what Wales is doing? No. What needs to happen is that devolution of power has stopped at Stormont. And no matter what we say on that, without legislative assembly ministers, there are still opportunities to make sure that we can transfer power and resources to councils so that you can provide high-quality services at affordable costs, Chairman. Just a few illustrations of what we do rather than go through them all. National pay. 12,000 workforce, making sure that we have a vote and a voice at the national pay negotiations to make sure that two things happen, no matter what ends up in terms of the 12,000 workforce's pay. Is it fair? And is it affordable? That's the balance, and we would do that on behalf of the entire council structure here. What I also believe is important to say in terms of national pay, there are numerous mechanisms where expensive consultants can borrow your watches, tell you the time, and charge you a couple of hundred thousand quid for it. We're not in that business. We do that on behalf of the informed councils, with one person at elected level and one person at official level representing all of us. So it's cheap, it's effective, it's fair. And in terms of some of the policy and learning networks, the secret, Chairman, is in the name, policy. Been able to inform your policies, been able to take advice from members and officers of this council, where, if you like, NILGA is the hub of a wheel, has all those spokes going in the right direction, maintains your independence, but means that you have the power and the strength of unity, pushing us forward so that we can have not homogenous policies, members and chairman, but consistent policies in terms of a core minimum, in terms of performance and adequacy. We also represent local government even beyond these shores. So in terms of, for example, the All-Ireland Civic Forum, in terms of the UK Local Government Forum, we're making sure that we're cutting above our weight, because the English would have 330 councils, let alone thousands of councillors. We have merely 11, but we have an equal say, and we'll be bringing the UK Local Government Forum here to Northern Ireland in November. And the reason I mention high-quality services at affordable cost, and the reason I mention unity is strength in the case of local government working together, is that if we all go off and paddle our own canoe, you could be the back end of that bike. Whereas what I would prefer to see, and what I see increasingly happening, if you like, with the reputation of local government, is that the community is the hub of that wheel. The council is the coordinator of it. All those folks are those government departments who you work tirelessly to try and hold to account to divert funds to the Strangfords, to the Ballykilners, to the Strangford Lochs of this world. But whenever you do that powerfully, as a single team, you can move mountains. And in terms of our the drivers of our work, all I would respectfully suggest in the interest of time is that whilst we would be corporately representative of local government, we are extremely passionate about what we do in terms of that bigger issue, which is strengthening local democracy in Northern Ireland. The more power exists with community decision-taking, the more powerful the connection is with the community and the constituents that you serve. No matter how many processes, government departments or bureaucrats exist, one thing really matters, and that's a sense of place that the people in this area obviously identify with in terms of each of the townlands across the borough and the district. So you're working for and with you. We work with your member services officers to design the sorts of programs that you want at a cost which is affordable. In most cases, the elected member development work is at no cost to the organisation, the councils. In terms of the Sustainable Prosperity Fund, which I mentioned, it is ludicrous that planning for an eventual post-Brexit scenario does not have a co-design role by local government here. Local government should not have a transactional relationship with central government. It should have a relational relationship. In other words, if and when at the end of October something does finally happen in regard to exit from the European Union, we should be designing now the alternative funds. The council shouldn't be receiving them in a grant. So we've pleaded with Whitehall, pleaded with the Northern Ireland office, pleaded with the current Secretary of State, the Secretary of State, whether she's current or not, to make sure that there's a co-design rule. And we must keep doing that, because the communities that you serve will have more funding beyond your city deal, will have more funding beyond a Brexit support fund. And in terms of that, venues and promoting the council in this area, and through this area is what we do. So in terms of just moving ahead, what's to come? What is the big picture for local government in Northern Ireland through your four-year electoral term? I feel that the biggest issue is financial. I feel that the constraints that the councils are under, 4 pence in the tax pound, is something where you're now going to have to prioritise your capital spend, your revenue spend, because you want to do as much as you can, but affordability is going to be crushing unless you get your partners around the spokes of those wheels all working to deploy that budget down to local level. And the recipe is simple. Putting it into practice, as you know, is actually more difficult than just saying it. Also, it's very important that the Northern Ireland Local Government Act is completed. The Local Government Act, as we currently have, has big pieces missing, despite the fact that it's been in existence since 2014. So a review of the Code of Conduct, standing orders legislation, guidance on call-in, and more importantly, on fettering councils to have greater fiscal powers to drive your local economy. All these things, can they happen without ministers? Our suggestion is that they can. We just have to amend the Local Government Act. Because again, members and chairman, coming as I am towards my conclusion, rather that we were on the right of the picture than on the left, all of us rowing together under the same boat. So these challenges do face us all. Better to work on them together than separately. And I suppose in terms of ourselves, one of the other benefits is procurement. When your buying power is 450 councils with an overall spend of £7.8 billion, we can get locally better costed high quality products and services for yourselves, particularly on the training side. And I just wanted to mention towards the conclusion of this, because I think members have a copy of the presentation. The person who knows what they're doing, Donna there to my left, has told me that that will be forwarded. Just a few future things to watch. Member of Nilga or not, doesn't matter. Killie Hevland, place shaping. Why is that important? Planning. Who's coming to it? Northern Ireland Water. What are the constraints to your local development plans? Whether or not you can build because of the infrastructure problems of water. So bringing our problems to their table and getting something done about that. And on the 3rd of December, members, we'll be holding the Border Economy event in Uri. Our colleagues, including Liam, we're working together with Solace and making sure that we have, if you like, one voice heard by many. I'm concerned as a passionate local Democrat about the next 4 years and your ability to make those really important choices on behalf of the community you serve. I've taken Belgians, Americans, people from Lowestoft, round this district, all of it, Stranford Lough, Ballykinler, Saintsfield, and they marvel at the services provided by this council. I just hope that those services are sustainable and you can get partner organisations to buy into what you're doing. And I mentioned some of those specifically, not to decry other services such as Newry Leisure Centre, which won an award last year, but I'm just thinking about the journey I took people on and how amazed they were that in the middle of austerity, you're still sweating the asset of your capital investments. That's some of the media. It can, again, with all due respect to people in the media room here, can be quite predatory. I have huge sympathy with the role of a councillor. It's 24/7. Whatever you're responsible for, they hold you to account. Members of the public, whatever you're not responsible for, they will also hold you to account. And that is the environment where your resilience is extremely important to us, hence the training on leadership and dealing with, how can I put it, difficult people. Not that elected members aren't difficult from time to time themselves, heaven forbid. And bear in mind what you are together, a £2 billion public sector asset, £1 billion of expenditure, £1 billion of assets. The public sector in Northern Ireland is about £22 billion. You're relatively small, all the more reason to work together to bring more power down members to local level. Will you allow me a 90-second video, Chair? Because it's actually for the benefit of the members. I'm going to skip through these. That's just what you're trying to navigate. whether you're a new or experienced member. I put the community at the centre because they're the people who count, not all those bubbles of agencies around it. And we're trying to burst as many bubbles as possible to get resources to the community. Our strategic partners, real people with real names, some of them actually live in this area, who are saying what we're saying, and not before time. And this, Chairman, is what one of those strategic partners is saying. You hear that? He's frozen. He's frozen. And what he's saying, basically, apologies for the volume, is really important because he's saying that if you want to direct better public services in Northern Ireland, you need to co-design and co-deliver them with councils rather than, as I said before, Chair, a transactional relationship with central government. Are things moving? Yes, but they're painfully slow. Our role is to make it faster and more effective and to get more resources down to team local government, including Yuri Mornin Down. Grateful for the members who have been nominated, grateful for the absolutely indefatigable work of members across this council, but whether or not you are Councillor Walker, Rhiann, McKevitt, Hart, Curran, Casey, Burgess and Andrews, with all due respect to those eight, I know how representative and how challenged and how energetic they are. But no, this product is for all members. Thank you very much. I'm happy to take any questions and defer them to Councillor Curran if necessary.
Thanks very much for your time. Sir, can I thank the Chief Executive of NILGA for making that very... I thought it was a very good presentation and it aligned, you know, lots of things NILGA is doing and have done in the past. But I'll just tell you, there's a future coming here, and I think we're going to need NILGA more so not then than we do in the future. I know, as everybody said here, myself and other people are on NILGA executive, so we have an incentive. I would like the opportunity tonight for the people who are not on NILGA to ask the questions that they need to ask so that they know exactly what's happening. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dermot, for your contribution. Any members... feel free to ask that question when he's here, so it's over to the floor.
Yeah, it was just around just the, sort of the future devolution down to local council level. What are the prospects of that actually happening, and what would be, what's NILGA's preferences, you know, in terms of which ones would like first?
I suppose there's several answers to that compelling question. What is the likelihood? The likelihood of it happening formally is very, very slim, but the likelihood of it happening by stealth is quite extensive. You should not be receiving, for example, requests to deliver contingency planning without the funding. You should not be looking to have a bill around special event management unless you have the funds transferred. What sort of preferences would we have, ultimately, putting pressure on Whitehall as well as the permanent secretaries working in conjunction with SOLIS? Councillor, our preference would be to start with the simple. There is a phrase called neighbourhood services. those neighbourhood services would be things as mundane but important as libraries, museums, gully emptying, on-street car parking. It is not effective that local neighbourhood services are not delivered through local contractually obliged councils. That happens in Falkirk, it happens in Dunleary, it should happen here. And the reason I say neighbourhood services is that if all the neighbourhood services were transferred tomorrow, that would still represent less than 10p in the tax pound. You currently invest 4p in the tax pound. The rest is spent by big government, as I call them. And in the interest of efficiency, I think that the council's fleet, for example, could be looking at an intelligent way to coordinate neighbourhood services, providing you get the resources to do those jobs. But start simple. There are a few, as I call them, sacred cows through you, Chair, you know, like housing, education. Much better to be policy designed and delivered in a population of 1.8 million centrally. But neighbourhood services, the secret's in the name. The neighbourhood should be doing them.
That's it. Interesting, yeah. The other one I thought of just was local roads, maybe not the main roads, but certainly, you know, local rural roads especially. You know, I wonder was about the flavour from all the councils. That's why I sort of asked the question about all the councils. You know, what is the consensus of opinion, really? You know?
We do have a programme for local government. There is a review of RPA, the Review of Public Administration, Chair. That review has got to be also a preview, because in the Local Government Act, there is an element of it which is about additional powers. What we're saying is once bitten, twice shy. Make sure that we negotiate, but we can only negotiate when we consult with the 11 sovereign councils to make sure that you have a role in the design of those new services.
Okay, thank you, Jerry.
No further questions? I'd just like to thank you, Derek, for coming along and giving us a very informative presentation on the workings of NALGA. And it's of course very interesting, and I'd like to thank you, and I'll be well. We'll see you sometime soon along the road.
Thank you, Chair, and I wish you a productive meeting. Could you also let your building control people know that the soil pipe will be up by about 8:30?
First of all, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish a very warm welcome to our representatives from Northern Ireland Water, Dr. Stephen Blackwell, who's Head of Investment Management, Mr. Graham Miller, who's Head of Wastewater Infrastructure Delivery, and also Mr. Ivan Jackson, Head of Operational Contract Management Centre. Just at this juncture, it's just some councillors have already forwarded on some points and queries to Northern Water, and they'll be answered in the chamber. But I've been asked to point out that if members have any further queries or questions, soon afterwards, or straight after the meeting, feel free to meet with Northern Water outside in the breakout area, and they'll be too happy to take on board your points and concerns. So I'll hand over to yourselves. Thank you.
Okay, good evening, and thanks very much to Newry Morning Down Council for inviting us here this evening to present on our company's challenges and also all our activities in Newry Morning Down Council area. Okay. So here's just a slide of the council area showing this is the seven districts, and I know there are 41 councillors. This evening I want to surely share a bit about the facts and the figures around our business and how we're serving the people of Northern Ireland and also the work we're doing in Newry Morning Down. Okay. So this is a basic overview of NI Water. We were formed in April 2007. We're a government-owned company and also a non-departmental public body, which means we report to the Department for Infrastructure and we receive 70% of our funding from DFI. We're about 1,300 staff. This is half the number that we had in the water service days before we were formed. And we're a regulated company and we provide business plans to the utility regulator. We are the sole provider of wastewater and water services and associated activities. And we've invested about $1.5 billion over the last 10 years. And there's a multiplier effect on the Northern Ireland economy. For every pound invested, there's approximately another pound that comes back. Okay. So we're delivering the highest ever water and wastewater standards, and we're becoming increasingly efficient, and we're seen as an exemplar of public sector reform. However, we do have challenges on the funding front. Okay, now this is a new slide that we have forming part of our latest business plan, really, which sets out our operations. I'd like to take you through it. If you start from the left-hand side corner, we have 45 impounding reservoirs, and that's where we collect and store the rainwater for our water supply. We have 23 water treatment works, where we treat the water to a potable standard or a drinkable standard, and then it is put into the water supply through pumping mains, and we have over 300 wastewater or 300 sorry pumping stations which pump it round at a high pressure to get to people's houses, and we serve. My eyesight here is failing with glasses on. So, and then we serve, I think it's at 860,000 properties, and we supply 590 million litres of water every day. And that's through a network of about 27,000 kilometres of water mains. So everyone has the shower, and they use the toilets, you know, they do the washing up, and of course we collect all the wastewater. It comes back into our system. There's a little bit of a difference because people have septic tanks, or you also have leakage in the system, but we collect about 700,000 wastewater from 700,000 households, and that's about 340 million litres per day. And we then pump that to our wastewater treatment works. We have over 1,000. That's because we're very rural in Northern Ireland, so there's a lot of assets to maintain. And we do that through a network of approximately 16,000 kilometres of sewer. So that's from here to Australia, to give you an idea of the scale. Now, to protect people's homes from flooding events, we also have network overflows, so that if there are issues with heavy rainfall and water getting into our sewers, then it flows out through these sort of safety valves. Okay. So back to the wastewater treatment works. They treat the wastewater to a standard where it's safe to discharge the environment. And we also have sludge that's a leftover product from our wastewater treatment works. This is thickened in 63 centres, and then it is incinerated at a large incinerator in Belfast. And to support all that, so we have 1,300 staff, we have fleet, we have a solar farm, we have all our telemetry centres and depots. And probably worth pointing out that water is pretty heavy, and we are the largest electricity user in Northern Ireland as we pump water and wastewater around the province. So, for capital investments in Newry Morning Down, we invest approximately 10.5% of NI Water's capital spend. So, if you look at the table there, you can see in 2019-20, we're planning to spend 13.9 million in Newry Morning Down District, and that's against a total capital investment in Northern Ireland of $96.8 million. And over the 4 years that we've got presented, or 5 years we've got presented there, that represents about $54.9 million against an overall investment of $521.7 million. So the overall spend actually compares very favourably with the district's population. So you have 9.5% of NI's population residing in the district. So this is a list of some of the top investments that are either in construction or recently complete. We've done upgrades to New Point Wastewater Pumping Station. That's a base maintenance project. We're also conducting sewer investigations in Warren Point. We're conducting a series of DAPs, which are drainage area plans, in Dundrum and Long and Kilkeel. And we've got a large £10 million project, which is spread over several years of investment in Drummer Rose, in the water treatment works and the clear water tank. And that's aimed at improving water quality and also providing resilience through water quantity measures as well. The next slide are also investments that are being planned or they're prospective projects. So we're developing up these studies, and you can see a lot of them have got in brackets potential PC21. And that's our next 6-year business planning period. So that's all our readiness for the new plan. So I'm just going to cover a couple of projects or activities that we're carrying out in the region. And one that you may have heard of is the Mourne Wall Restoration Project. So this is an award-winning scheme, and the project team picked up quite a prestigious award for Building Conservation and Projects of the Year, and that was at the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors Awards. So that was held in June 2019. So this project saw over 600 repairs undertaken along the 22-mile-long granite structure, and this included a 27-metre collapse on Slieve Verna. And in addition to that, there are extensive pathworks as well conducted. So the project was due to take 4 years, and was actually completed in two. And Gieda Construction was our contractor, and they were working in partnership with local stone masons and also a consultant, RPS. Another scheme in the district council area was the Dundrum Sewage Network. This is still ongoing. It's a two-phase construction programme and represents an investment of over $3.8 million. The first phase really is to replace the existing combined sewer and the rising mains in the main street. And we did this in conjunction with Phoenix Gas to minimise disruption to the public. So the first part of that phase one was completed, and we're off-site, but we'll be returning in September and completing that phase of the work to December. Then there's a separate part of that scheme as well, which is looking at replacing wastewater pumping stations at Kilties and also at Flynn's in Dundrum, and that was due to start in January 2020 and will proceed through to December 2020 when it will be completed. And we've also, as we point out, been carrying out base maintenance at the Dundrum wastewater treatment works as well over the last 18 months. I'm sure you're all aware of the council's local development planning process. New timetable was released, I suppose, over the last 12 months. We've been engaging with council planners for a number of years, providing information on wastewater capacity and water capacity throughout the region. We've reviewed the preferred options paper, which came through last year. And so we're waiting for the draft plan strategy to come out, and we'll be providing a contribution to that as we're a statutory consultee in that process. Okay, I mentioned a bit about NI Water's challenges, and really this is in funding for water and wastewater. We've delivered a significant change over the past 12 years. We've moved from being 50% less efficient than the England and Wales companies to being within the top sort of 5% of the upper quartile of those companies. We've also driven up service indicators, as I mentioned at the start of the presentation. So it's easy to conclude that citizens of Northern Ireland were being well served as civic leaders, and that the publicly owned water company is in good shape. You know, but there are some serious flaws, and you know, we have issues with funding, particularly over the coming years. And these, as you may be aware, are to do with wastewater capacity. So, say we're a regulated company, which means that we have to produce price controls. You know, we're a monopoly, and we provide a business plan that's submitted to the utility regulator. And the utility regulator reviews our plans and determines what we're allowed in terms of revenue and expenditure across the six-year price control period. And it will set efficiency targets and outputs that we need to meet. So PC21 will be our fourth regulatory price control period. So what does it involve? Well, we have specific objectives that are set through our main stakeholder, which is DFI, through their social and environmental guidance. We've also got revenue and expenditure to deliver with these objectives that are quantifiable, and we have to comply and meet with the ministerial objectives and guidance on those when we're developing our business plan. And we also provide our business plan to the regulator, utility regulator, who challenges it for value for money. At the end of that process, then when the contract is ideally agreed and we sign up, if you like, to what we have to deliver to to our customers, and then we monitor our progress over the six-year period. And we work with all our stakeholders to do that. That includes NIEA, the Environmental Regulator, Drinking Water Inspectorate, Consumer Council, and the like. Okay, so NI Water, as I mentioned earlier, we're a government-owned company and a non-departmental public body within DFI. And because we're within DFI, that means we're not exempt from or immune from public expenditure constraints. So this is a key difference between us and GB water companies. You know, we're not permitted to hold surplus cash, cash reserves. All the costs must be met from within our public expenditure budgets that are held by DFI. As I say, we are a successful company and we want to continue delivering to the people of Northern Ireland, but we have a funding issue that we need to address. So in our previous price control, this was our funding challenge. We were preparing our business plan in 2013 and we identified needs of 2.8 billion. Okay, that's across our water and wastewater business to deliver base maintenance, which is to maintain the systems that you have, if you like, maintain the roof on your house. And there's also enhancement projects, is where you build extra capacity. You know, another analogy is the garage, you know, and so that you can, you know, provide extra services to your customers across Northern Ireland. So to address all our issues and maintain our current assets would cost about 2.8 billion. And when we looked at what we could invest in that period of 6 years efficiently, the estimate was 1.7 billion. We were promised 990 million. However, that promise has not been kept to, where at the moment there's over 55 million in cuts that we've experienced since 2015. And I suppose, you know, an important point to make is that the PC15 period was about certainty on funding, so that we would know what we're going to get year on year for 6 years, and that enables you to get more and more efficient with your contractors, and set up incentive payments and deliver more for less. So we're entering into our PC21 business planning period. Now, we know that things don't go down. We know we've got larger issues to address, particularly on the wastewater side. In PC15, we had about 55 wastewater treatment works which were experiencing capacity issues, operating at or above their capacity, and another 21 that were approaching their capacity limits. This will only increase in the period going forwards. To address that amount, that investment in PC15 would require over £200 million. What we received, I suppose, was 60 million, and that would be also to address compliance issues. So we're talking about maybe getting after 10 works that had capacity issues and another 10 works that had compliance issues as identified by the environmental regulator. So you're not really getting ahead. You're not even standing still. You're going backwards. And I say that's still the situation in PC20 with the PC21 business planning. So what we've done is we've been developing our plan. You can see a detailed timetable here. And we've produced what's called an outline capital submission, which was submitted on the 14th of June. So that's with the utility regulator. They will review it over the next 4 or 5 months. And also we're expecting DFI really to be able to give us an indication of what funding may be coming our way. And what we would like to do really would be to come back to New Morning Down and give the council more specific details of what we will be able to invest in the area over the next 6 years. But that outline capital submission, we'll receive comments from the utility regulator. We will then provide them, the utility regulator with a full business plan on the 31st of January 2020. That will then be reviewed by the utility regulator, who will provide us with a draft determination, which will set targets, and we will then put that to our board, and you know, the final determination will come to us on the 11th of December 2020. I say it will go to our board, and then if they're in agreement, we'll make a decision and we'll either accept or reject that final determination. So that's our sort of our roadmap ahead. But it's really, you know, the critical factor is, you know, we require support so that we can underpin the future economic development across Northern Ireland and in Newry Moreland Down. The current governance model really hasn't delivered the investment funding that we needed to date. And now we need to have significant investment to move things forward on the wastewater and water side. So what we're encouraging really is, you know, across council and across Northern Ireland, is that developers should engage with Northern Ireland Water as early as possible in their planning process, and we encourage them to go down the pre-development inquiry route. And that will allow us to advise them if there is an opportunity for them to build and for growth to occur in a certain part of Newry Moreland Down or in Northern Ireland as a whole. Okay. So we'll just move through to the questions that we've received, written questions received in advance of the meeting from several councillors. So the first one was raised by Councillor Mason, and it's a wastewater capacity one. It's about a number of years ago, and our water approved development plans in the village, and now contractors want to move ahead and are being told there's no longer capacity in the system for their new homes, despite our water previously saying it was okay. Can we advise on that? Well, I haven't got specific visibility of those planning applications, but I know that the Drummoneth Works does have capacity issues. Planning permission can be given, or outline planning can be given sort of 5 years in advance, or it's got a 5-year period before it expires, and sometimes they come back to us on reserve matters, and we can then have a chance to reappraise the situation. So in 5 years, that's sufficient time for growth to occur in the catchment, and for what was previously a works that did have capacity for growth can reach its ceiling. So the solution there, we are looking at options, and probably be a part of the PC21 work programme, subject to available funding. Okay, the next question is from John Traynor about Byrnestown Road, about recurring smells relating to the sewage system. You think that this issue is linked to odours being experienced downstream with the Fine Horse wastewater pumping station, and our trade affluent sections and sewer networks teams are working with the trader to address that issue. Okay, Councillor Traynor had a second question about Ardglass Road, about chemicals being put in the system to mitigate smell and how regularly this is done, as there have been episodes of the smell. So NI Water has a dosing plant in the wastewater pumping station, and this dose is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the rate of dosing is adjusted to the flow and the temperature. So we have a dosing plant that it adjusts according to the flow and temperature, as I said. So that's how it works. So it's a continual dosing process, and it should be maintained and should help moderate the smell. Okay. So the third question from John Train is about Irish Street. And are the current pipes and system in place in Irish Street fit for purpose, given the recent issues that need emergency attention? Also, are there any plans to upgrade the system in this area? If so, was this communicated to Transport NI, prior to the environmental scheme and resurfacing project for Irish Street. Okay, well, NM Water has no issues with the adopted sewer running down Irish Street. The public realm works currently taking place in Irish Street. Has identified four broken lateral sewers in the footpaths that they are excavating and renewing. So we haven't got any previous records of any issues or blockages with those lateral sewers prior to the public realm works. So it may have been that they've been disturbed or broken during that public realm process. Okay.
First of all, I'd like to take out.
Sorry, so there's another sheet here. Sorry, yeah, that's right. Another page here. And then, so we've got Councillor McKee. What can be done to avoid sewage spilling over from manhole covers and spilling onto the walkway of the Annalong River Bridge? So our response is that there is a capacity issue at this point in the sewer system in times of heavy rain. And NI Water currently has a project looking into spills from the network combined sewer overflows and options to limit or remove unauthorised intermittent discharges into that sewer. The next question is from Councillor Doran, and this is to do with a water quality issue that's been experienced by a number of houses where they have brown water entering into the home through the taps, and they have young children, and NI Water has been out several times to flush the pipes. Okay, so the response there is that we've been taking samples over the last few weeks, and those have passed. More samples will be taken, and that was on Monday, so we haven't had the results back there. We have had two recent bursts in the area, which may have disturbed some of the sediment in the pipes, and this can cause coloured water. This can be because of residual iron that's in the cast iron mains. So we'll continue to flush, and we'll keep taking samples, and we'll monitor the situation there. The next question is from Councillor Walker. It's about in Kelly Lane, Downpatrick Road, about an odorous smell returning to the Downpatrick Road through the vents, and have the filters been replaced? Or if not, when will they be? Okay, and the response is the filters have not been replaced at Downpatrick Road. An investigation and inspection will be carried out next week, and filters will be replaced if necessary. And then another question from Councillor Walker. About an update on the sewage problems in Saintfield, and has the survey been completed, and has the money been sourced to rectify the problem? Well, I've got a slide that shows the work that's been done over the last 10 months. So, see it up there. So really, I suppose it's a bit difficult, but there's been quite a lot of activity. We've actually found, if you look at the bottom left-hand corner, we had a foul sewer and also a DFI roads culvert that took stormwater, so they were both overlaying each other, and the DFI storm sewer was actually broken, as was the NI Water foul sewer underneath, so that was a source of a lot of water getting into the system, and that would have tracked across and then eventually entered combined sewers and gone down into the old Grand Jury Road sewer. So that has been taken out. We've also CCTV'd the old Grand Jury Road system and fixed numerous defects. There are about three or four defects in that sewer there. So that's been fixed, and also debris has been taken out of manholes, and I also think there was a storm sewer as well that was cleaned out. Another issue in that part of Saintfield is there's a lot of field runoff, and this heads down and gets into the system as well through Old Grand Jury Manor, and that can cause some of the manholes to pop just with stormwater. Not from the combined sewers. Okay, so that's a bit of an issue there. But by taking out, say that, the foul sewer and also the DFI roads storm sewer, by taking out that broken bit that was around connectivity, it should alleviate a lot of the issues that they're experiencing in Old Grand Jury Road. We are developing a drainage area model as well. So when we are, we've fixed the sewers, we've gone and conducted or are conducting a flow survey in that area. And we're also CCTVing the sewers there, and that information will be used to develop a model, and we'll reassess the situation in the sewers in that part of Saintfield, and if needs be, then that will be used to identify a solution going forward. But a lot of water will have been taken out of that system, so we're hoping that will make a big difference for the residents in Old Grand Jury Road and Old Grand Jury Manor. And just last slide then, really just show how you can reach us. We've got a dedicated electoral representative hotline, which you should be aware of. You can reach us on email. We've got websites, and like all good companies, we've got a Twitter feed, and there's Facebook. So there's plenty of ways to get hold of us, and we're more than happy to take your questions and come back to you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I also would like to take the opportunity to thank your helpline staff and to your officers for their prompt response to manage a query. You know, we dealt with promptly, and I did pass forward back to customer services appreciation for the good work that they do, and also the very prompt response. And I was one of those councillors that didn't send in a pro forma, but I have reached out with you outside. But as I say, I'm just going to open the floor up to questions. Councillor Walker, you've indicated to come in.
Chair, thank you very much. And I also want to thank your staff as well. You know, any time you do phone up, they're fast and efficient in getting back to you and getting problems, providing they're not too big, resolved. And that. But I'm delighted to hear that you have started the survey on Sinfield. As you know, serious problems there. People were having a terrible time with sewage backing up and that. My one concern is, looking at your slides, the top investments and your 6-year plan, Sinfield and work to be done on Sinfield is within that 6-year plan. How long do you think it's going to take this survey to be completed and a model drawn up? For Sinfield, because it is a very, very serious issue. I do know that Northern Ireland Water said you have 20 out of them over the whole of Northern Ireland, serious problems like that there. But as I said at the time, Sinfield's my problem as a councillor, and I want to see Sinfield resolved now. But I do welcome the fact that you have started the work, you have found part of the problem, so you have, and you have rectified that. Hopefully, when the bad weather comes again, the proof will be in the pudding then. So it will, whenever the heavy rain comes, do we see if it still backs up. But I would like to know when the model, you think, will be complete, and when will you be looking for the funding?
So the model, it will be completed at the end of this year. That was the original time frame. So it relies also on having 3 significant rainfall events so that you can set it up and calibrate it properly. So if you don't get those 3 rainfall events, it can take a bit longer, but that's what we're aiming to. Once you get the model, you can then start developing your options and your plan for going forward, and those will then be costed up and they'll go into our business plan. So I mean, it boils down in the PC21 period, how much funding will we get, you know, from DFI. You know, I already indicated sort of in PC15 there was, you know, about $2.5 billion worth of work that could be done. So that's only gone up since then. So, you know, what we need is support from councillors like yourself, really, to put the pressure on DFI or other parts of government as well, so that all we want is adequate funding so that we can give people of Northern Ireland the service that they deserve.
Are there any further questions?
Yeah.
Councillor Tavish, go ahead.
Yeah. Again, thanks very much for coming along tonight, and for the response rates that we get from your staff, particularly in the new area, representing your area. I missed probably your first slide there in relation to the major projects, and I'm keen to know, is the Meadow area of Newry included in that? And the reason I'm asking is that we got members of your team to come and walk the Meadow with us, about 4 or 5 months ago. There has been an ongoing, for nearly 20 years, a lack of infrastructure investment in that area. It's an old part of Newry. The main green area where children are playing, there has been raw sewage has been coming up, and I know there was work carried out, the remedial works carried out probably in the last month or so. They come to look after that area. But around the Kalevi Road and the areas in the Meadow, when there's heavy rain, the toilets overflow. It's been ongoing for years. When I spoke to your team member who was out, and was very helpful, I must say, and we walked the whole system, the question came up was, well, what do we think the problem is? And they said, well, would it be included now within the monitoring for the whole greater New York area that has been done at the time? Which I believe it was carrying out, but I had no feedback as to whether or not it was something where there was a break or a blockage somewhere. The fear was at the time that there was a need for substantial infrastructure reinvestment in that area, and I would like that to be kept very highly on the agenda, because there's a generational change coming in that area, and that would have been an older settled community now is starting to transform again with young families coming in. And there's big concerns there that if we have raw sewage coming up through the middle of the green area where children are playing, and the last number of heavy rainfalls that we did have in that area were actually during summer months. You recall last year was quite significant. So it's really to get an assurance from yourselves that will be looked at and potentially scheduled. The other areas relate to the Spring Farm area. There's been an ongoing issue, Spring Farm Heights area. There appears to be an issue in relation to the sewers that has led to severe rat infestation. There were upwards of 17 rats caught in the last week in that estate, and over 50 in the last couple of months. I believe that there is some action going to be taken there in relation to some cut-off valves or something they're going to put in the sewers. They couldn't locate breakages and pipes, but there was a recognition by the pest control people that they were coming through the sewers in some way. And there are young families up there and young single mothers in particular terrified, and that would need to be dealt with fairly quickly. And the other issues in relation to Glen Hill, we've had about four or five major, what I would classify as burst mains or overflows on Glen Hill over the last couple of months. And I know there has been additional capacity with new building sites on the top of the hill, with new housing developments coming on, and I just want to check that it's not a capacity issue, because I've reported it a few times. It has been responded to quickly, but within a couple of weeks it's back overflowing again and streaming down the hill. And if that was to happen during a frosty period during the winter time, it would be a severe hazard coming down that steep hill. So those are the three. If you could potentially look at those, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Councillor
Lewis,
go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I was just wanting to concur there with Councillor Walker and Councillor Savage, and thank you for coming on tonight. Thank you for the work that yous do whenever we do make contact. I'm just wanting to raise and put on the record an issue in the Carnglave Manor House estate in the Spa. It seems that the estate was constructed, but it hasn't yet been adopted. There's a problem with the pumping station. It's not up to the standards that the road service and NI Water would expect. Now, the contractor has been out of business. I do believe that there is an Article 11 in place and that the Northern Ireland Water has agreed to bring that up to standard. It's starting to really affect if someone's trying to sell their house. There's been two house sales have fallen through in the past year. There's raw sewage is actually flowing through one house's toilet, and the man who owns it actually has to go down to the pump station and you know, sort of try and sort the problem himself, because the contractor won't do it because he's not there anymore, and the Northern Ireland Water won't actually come out to it. So if we can get that on to the list, just to be looked at, and if you can come back to me, I would really appreciate an update on whether the Northern Ireland Water is going to carry out the repairs on the pump station, so it can be adopted there. Cheers, thank you.
If there's no further queries or points, I'd like to take this opportunity to, again, thank you very much for coming along. And if members have any further queries or points, the officers will be outside, so feel free to have a chat with them out there. So I'd like to thank members for coming along and for staff for all the help and making sure the meetings go all right. So thanks, everybody, and see you at home.